Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We have, of course, been debating the issue around compulsory vaccines. We see that Discovery has made an announcement mandating their employees to get vaccinated. But what happens? What happens if an employee of any company that mandates vaccinations goes for the vaccination and has a terrible reaction? Are they able to hold the company liable, the company that forced them to get vaccinated? Jaden Crom is an attorney and associate in employment law at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
Thanks, Howard, and thanks for having me. I'm doing well, thank you.
It's a very complex area of law, I imagine. I'm sure that you are asked, as somebody who practices employment law, you must be asked this question or questions around mandated vaccines in employment areas almost every day now.
Yeah, no, you're definitely correct. And I think the starting point is that everything we're dealing with at the moment is quite novel. So it is quite interesting and exciting and developing every day.
What is the latest? Were you surprised when, for example, Discovery mandated their employees to get vaccinated?
So the starting point in this is that in terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act, there were regulations released on the 11th of June, which actually cater for mandatory vaccination. And you can see that there's a process that you'd have to follow in terms of Annexure C to that regulation. So mandatory vaccination as a starting point needs to be accepted. However, what needs to happen is there has to be some kind of consultation process with the workforce, and this would have to look at the rights of the employees, both collective and the individual. There's quite a few factors to consider. So, for example, the Occupational Health and Safety Act places a duty on the employer to provide a safe working environment, and this is a duty that's shared between both the employer and the employee. So that's something that we also have to bear in mind, and how do companies achieve that goal? When Discovery announced it, I wasn't surprised, and I think we need to factor in the dire position of the country and the economy, and organizations and employers will have to consider their operational requirements. And the truth is, for many employers, the reality is that they don't impose mandatory vaccination policies. Right. It will result in further job losses. We've also seen that there have been cases of mandatory vaccination being imposed by our courts and forums. So there was a case about 10 years ago when an employee refused to take a hepatitis vaccination, and they were dismissed, and that was found to be a fair dismissal. This goes all the way back to the 1905 case of Jacobson v. Massachusetts, where mandatory vaccination was enforced in terms of smallpox. And I think here what we have to understand is that the Labor Relations Act, and specifically Schedule 8, also makes it a dismissible offense for an employee to endanger the life of another employee. So that's something we also have to keep in the back of our minds. So I think that, you know, when Discovery announced that, we have to understand that we'll see more and more employers starting to implement these policies, put these policies in place, follow the plan in terms of Schedule C. They also have to consider, for example, alternatives, any objections that could be raised. So for example, there can be objections in terms of your religious rights, your political rights, or even medical concerns. But I think what ultimately employees and people have to understand is that no right is absolute. Section 36 of our Constitution makes provision for the limitation of those rights. And that might be seen to play out where the individual rights is trumped by the collective rights. So ultimately, I think that we'll start seeing more and more mandatory vaccinations being put in place.
Right. Now, let's assume that a company does mandate their employees. Somebody goes to get the vaccine and they have a terrible reaction. Are they able, and let's assume that they didn't want to have the vaccine, but they only knew they decided obviously they needed to keep their job, and that was the reason that they had to go for the vaccine. What then?
So, I mean, that's quite a nuanced question, and I think we'll have to see how the courts ultimately end up dealing with it. But on the face of it, what we have to bear in mind is that if the employer is compliant with the Occupational Health and Safety Directives and the legislation and applicable laws and legislation, where a mandatory vaccination policy is enforced and an employee receives a vaccine and becomes severely ill. And I think also we have to bear in mind that severely ill would mean something that is long-lasting and enduring.
Right.
There would be a possible claim in terms of our civil law. So, for example, in delict. The problem might come in, though, is that, for example, with a civil claim, you'd have to prove every element of that claim, and that would be the act or omission, wrongfulness, fault, causation, and damages. Now, the element that I foresee the most difficulty with is wrongfulness. If you follow the law and you act in terms of the law, can you be held liable? And simply the answer is no. There are other avenues which employees could have recourse, and that would be, for example, in terms of the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act, and this actually indemnifies employers from common law claims from an employee where they have an occupational disease or injury, and this would be in the course and scope of their employment. So the Compensation Commission has in fact released a notice which deals with occupationally acquired novel coronavirus. So they have contemplated this in terms of our legislation, and we might see that play out in this topic. And the last point I think we need to also have regard to is that the Minister of Cooperative Governance has published regulations establishing a COVID vaccination injury no-fault scheme for persons who have suffered harm due to the vaccine. So those would be your points of recourse. But ultimately, I think it would be very difficult for an employee to bring a claim against their employer.
Interesting indeed. Barry says, even if your company forced you to get a shot, you still have to agree with informed consent yourself. So surely a company wouldn't be liable.
Yes. So, I mean, again, that would be part of the process of implementing this policy, is that you would go through the process, or the employer would go through the process of making sure that they followed all the stipulations in Annexure C. So that would be looking at alternatives and raising objections and a process for dealing with those objections. And if you've gone through that entire process and you still find that the operational requirements of the business require mandatory vaccination policy, you would be fully within in the law to implement that.
And surely the fact that the incidence of reaction or serious reaction to the vaccine is so low that it wouldn't, you know, you could even argue that an employer demanding that an employee drives to work or comes into work is placing them at risk because they demanded that they should work out of the office rather than work from home. Just the act of driving to work places them in some form of danger, probably with a similar type of incidence level, you know, so surely that would also play a factor that it's such a low possibility of having a reaction.
Yeah, that's correct. I think it would probably even be low if I was reading the discovery reports, and they obviously have access to all the medical data of their members, which is probably substantial. And I think the figure was something like 73% less likely of having an adverse reaction to the vaccine than an adverse reaction from contracting COVID. So, I mean, that's also something to bear in mind, and the legitimacy of any objection raised on medical grounds will have to be seriously considered, whether that would be considered reasonable, considering that there is such a low chance of you having an adverse reaction. And again, I'm speaking about a long-lasting adverse reaction, not getting the chills for a couple of hours.
Right, of course. I guess the ultimate question is death. If somebody has such a reaction that they die from it, would the family be able to hold the employer liable? I guess that's really the question.
So I think it's a very difficult question, and I think there's a lot of emotion involved in it, especially where someone's brought an objection. And we'll have to see how the courts ultimately end up handling that. But I think, again, we'd have to, as a starting point, have regard to the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act. So was it in the course and scope of your employment? And if your employer is making you vaccinate for operational reasons, it could be argued that it would be brought into that ambit. And then the second point would be the scheme established by the government, the no-fault scheme. And then we also have to bear in mind that, you know, the government has fully indemnified Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer against any third-party claims. So
right.
Your part of recourse would generally be against the government and not your employer.
Yeah, that's interesting as well, I think, and quite an important point. That is where we leave it. Fascinating conversation, and no doubt one that is going to play out in all sorts of ways, as Jaden Cromer, Attorney Associate in Employment Law at Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer, said. It's novel, just like the virus, I guess, and it's a very different and even exciting area of law.